If you love fast food French fries as much as the next red-blooded American, you might want to read Malcolm Gladwell's story in the latest issue of The New Yorker. On the other hand, you might not. Mr. Gladwell has done some research on those perfectly consistent, thin, crunchy on the outside, mushy on the inside, stand-up-straight kind of fries that go so well with a double cheeseburger. And the news is not good. Writer Malcolm Gladwell is on the line from his office at The New Yorker. Hello, Mr. Gladwell.
How are you?
Now, the title of your piece, The Trouble with Fries, Fast Food is Killing Us, Can It Be Fixed? I would think most people probably already know that fries, you know, are not very good for you. But come on, killing us? Isn't that overstating it a bit?
I don't think so. You know, that we are now in America, I think that obesity is becoming probably the number one public health problem. As many people die now every year from the consequences of obesity as die from smoking. In fact, more do. And that's the emerging 21st century health crisis. And if you want to look at the reasons why we have such trouble with obesity, fast food is at the top of the list.
Well, you actually make the case in your article that you think fast food companies should be criminally liable for what they do to French fries.
Well, I didn't mean to go quite that far, but I do think it's curious that we would spend lots of time and attention suing cigarette manufacturers for putting out a product that they know to be dangerous when we don't even consider the same kind of scrutiny of the practices of McDonald's and Burger King and other places, which, you know, they deliberately have chosen certain ways of making things like French fries, which are more dangerous than other alternatives. I don't understand why they should not be held accountable for that.
Let's actually talk about some of those ways. You say that about 10 years ago, the fast food folks switched to vegetable oil from this beef tallow stuff. Mm. Well, that sounds like it would be healthier, but you say it made things worse.
It did. It's something that may not have been fully appreciated at the time, but it is certainly known, well known now. Beef tallow was, we moved away from beef tallow because it had cholesterol and it had a high level of saturated fat. And we knew both those things were not good. But the problem is that the partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, which is what all the big fast food restaurants switch to, has something called a trans fat. And trans fat is something that's even worse than saturated fat for your heart. So we were exchanging something that was not very good for us for something that was terrible for us.
What is that stuff and why is it so bad for us?
Well, trans fatty acid is essentially a byproduct of the chemical process that is used to make vegetable oil stable enough that it can be used in deep frying. And the problem is that your body doesn't really know what to do with it. It hasn't really doesn't have a lot of experience with it. It thinks it's a different kind of fat, and it gets into the body's, it basically mucks up the body's ability to process cholesterol. And some people at Harvard have done some really wonderful studies on the effects of trans fat using a very, very large group of people, sample base. And one estimate is that trans fat is responsible for about 30,000 premature deaths in the United States every year.
But aren't trans fats also in cookies and crackers and other stuff?
Yeah, there's no question. They're in a wide variety of processed foods. Any processed food that uses a partially hydrogenated vegetable oil has got trans fats in it. I don't mean to suggest that the fast food guys are the only ones who are blame here. But, I mean, they represent a fairly significant part of the market.
But Mr. Gladwell, it strikes me that these trans fats or French fries are not the same as nicotine. People are not addicted to them. Why don't they just stop eating them or eat less of them?
Well, addiction, it's very interesting. I didn't get into this in the story, but if you talk a lot to people who study what happens when we eat certain kinds of foods, what you discover is the same kinds of pathways in the brain are being activated by eating something that's high in fat or high in sugar, as are being activated when somebody smokes a cigarette. That is not to say that fat and sugar are addictive in the same way that nicotine is. That's obviously ridiculous. But it is wrong to think that we can walk away from certain kinds of high-fat, high-sugar food. They have a particular hold on us. They are delicious for a reason. You know, there is something about human beings that is drawn to foods that are very high in fat and sugar. So I don't think it is a mistake to consider nicotine and high-fat foods in roughly the same group. Fries are irresistible, and they're irresistible for a very, you know, for a good reason.
Well, I do wish you'd tell the story of why those McDonald's and Burger King and why those normal fast food fries taste so good.
Yeah, this was Ray Kroc, the man who founded McDonald's, is really the man who gave us the modern French fry. And there's several things he does. One is he realizes that a potato that's high in sugar does not make a very good French fry. It makes a French fry that is that cooks way, the outside cooks far more quickly than the inside. And potatoes, so potatoes, before they're ready to be turned into French fries, have got to be cured. They've had to be put in a warm place somewhere, usually for a couple of weeks, to allow the level of sugar in the potato to fall and the level of starch to rise. The second thing is that he realized that potatoes that had too much water in them didn't make a great fry. And so he sent out these people into the field to all his potato suppliers and figured out that they had to give him a potato that was between 21 and 23% solids. And that's one of the reasons why the fry is not soggy. And the third thing he figured out was deep frying a potato is actually a very complicated task. It's really hard to know when a French fry is ready. And he, working with a bunch of people at McDonald's in the very early days, developed what they called the potato computer, which is still in use today in almost all French fry establishments. And it's a potato computer that allows people to produce, you know, you go into McDonald's or Burger King, and the amazing thing is that virtually every fry you eat will be nearly perfect.
Well, given that people are loath to give up taste, you say in the article that there is, in fact, a way to make the French fries taste just as good, but not to use all these trans fatty acids. That doesn't sound possible.
It is. There's two alternatives. One alternative is simply to switch the cooking oil to cooking oils that are richer in monounsaturated, unsaturated fats, which are safer, have a safer profile. It's a little tricky sometimes when you're cooking a huge amount of French fries in a big fast food operation, but that could be done. But also, I think it's time we went back and revisited Alestra and things like Alestra, because there are other ones, there are other fat substitutes which would be on the market today if we hadn't treated Alestra with such disdain.
But I thought Alestra, we heard all these scary stories about it, about the side effects, the possible side effects, the fact that it goes through you so fast and stuff.
Yeah, well, we have a lot more data on Alestra now than we did when it first came out a couple of years ago. And the data that we've got more recently is quite encouraging. And it suggests that, you know, although there are probably some people out there who are going to have a reaction to Alestra, most of us probably don't. And if we keep the levels of Alestra that we're ingesting below a certain level, it's a really effective way of replacing dangerous fats with something that, and also reducing the number of calories we consume when we're eating deep fried food. Is Alestra perfect? No. But we have to weigh the risks involved here. The risks of doing nothing, of continuing to eat French fries made the way they are extraordinary. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people dying every year because of the consequences of obesity. You know, we have to do something.
Malcolm Gladwell is a staff writer for The New Yorker. Thank you for speaking with us, Mr. Gladwell.
Thank you.